Welcome to another episode of Everything is Canon, the Cinemix podcast. I'm your host, Steve Duncan. However you may have found your way here, thanks so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we invite authors from all genres onto the show to discuss their latest books and novels, as well as just about anything else that comes to mind. If you want to reach me, there are several ways to do so, but the best way is to email me at steve@cinelinks.com, or you can always find me on Twitter at SteveDunk5 or Everything Canon. Today in the show, we're talking to producer Amy Solomon all about her great new book, Notes from the Bathroom Line, Humor, Art, and Low-Grade Panic from 150 of the Funniest Women in Comedy. This laugh-out-loud book is a collection of never-before-seen humor pieces, essays, satire, short stories, poetry, cartoons, artwork, and more from more than 150 of the biggest female comedians working today. Amy, who is a producer on hit shows such as HBO's Silicon Valley and Barry, spearheaded and edited this massive effort, spending countless hours and gigabytes putting this thing together, even kicking in a thoughtful and funny introduction. We talk about all sorts of things, including our shared love of Gilda Radner, how great a guy Bill Hader is, lots of Saturday Night Live, and much, much more. No need for a spoiler warning on this one, but the odd minor detail does slip out, so if you haven't read the book and don't wish to be spoiled at all, better stop listening now, but definitely double back once you've read it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. As you know, on this podcast, we encourage supporting authors and stories that affirm the lives of people other than ourselves. Each time we either engage in a conversation, whether it be online or face-to-face, if we ever do that again, or each time we participate in the market with our purchasing choices. And it's also important that we do that all year long, not just one single day or the shortest month of the year. Okay, today's show is slightly different because we're not talking to a traditional author per se, but nonetheless, she has a book out, and I think it's more than worthy of a discussion because it combines a few things that I love dearly, and she worked really fucking hard on it. So Amy Solomon is normally a producer who has worked on Rachel Ray, HBO's Silicon Valley, and Barry. She currently runs Alec Berg's production company, where she develops content for film and television. She lives in Los Angeles, likes to travel, and she likes Gilda Radner, three pretty good things in my book. She's here to discuss Notes from the Bathroom Line, Humor, Art, and Low-Grade Panic from 150 the Funniest Women in Comedy, which is exactly as it sounds, a collection of original work from many names that you should all recognize. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's first welcome Amy to the show. Hi, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing this.
Wait, I didn't work on Rachel Ray. I think that's another Amy Solomon.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry.
I think I just IMDb'd it.
No. It's like, totally fine. Okay. I've seen that. Yeah. I think there's another Amy Solomon, but Silicon and Barry is. I wish Rachel Ray. She seems lovely.
I don't know. I'm on the fence with Rachel Ray. I do like her dog, but I just like
anybody. Does she have a cute dog?
She has a pit bull.
I have two pit bulls.
The love of my life was my dog before these two, a pit bull. We rescued her and she, and it's tricky. I'm in Canada and in Ontario and Toronto and, you know, they have the pit bull ban up here. So it's like,
that's so horrific to me. Did you read about how Denver just finally allowed them?
Just recently.
And this past election. Yeah.
And their laws were even more severe than ours. They were like remove and kill on sight or something. I don't know. It was like, I remember reading an article one time and it like the number was in the thousands of deaths. Like it was like, it's genocide. It's fucking dog genocide.
It's insane.
But
the gentlest dogs I've known in my whole life are pit bulls.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think most reasonable person understands that, you know, owner and it's like, there are facts that those dogs are equipped, you know, with particular traits that do make them, you know, like strong jaws, strong shoulders, things like that. But
I was bit by a yellow lab as a kid. No one ever says shit about a yellow lab.
Poodles. Isn't it a fact that poodles bite more people than anybody else, right?
But, yeah, and I think spaniels too.
They're evil. You can just tell by the look of them. funny, kind of a weird fact, but pit bulls, I mean, I don't even like saying pit bull. It's not even a real breed, technically. I was almost killed by one when I was 5 years old. I was put in the hospital by one. It was my fault. My brother and I, we like went into their neighbor's yard and were like throwing rocks at it or something. And it jumped on me and it as it should have. But they're my favorite dog of the whole world.
My two are sleeping behind me right now.
Mine are upstairs because they're just too noisy. So,
well, they're having their, I timed this for their traditional post-breakfast nap. So.
Oh, beautiful. Good timing. Yeah, I guess it's 1 o'clock here, so it's not. So right on. Well, yeah, no, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Because you are in the business of television, minus Rachel Ray. And and I was just reading this, you know, statement from the royal family. And I love the line. Oh, yeah. I love the line, while some recollections may vary, that's a great line. I feel like we haven't had a non-political TV event like this in a while, though. And yeah. I mean, you could of course make the argument that it is politics. Every act on earth is a political act, I suppose, if you want to take it that far. But to me, it's pure pulp as far as I'm concerned. Like,
yeah.
When was the last time?
I gotta be honest, I don't give a shit.
No, I don't I give a shit as far as I want to see the royal family taken down.
Totally. And this is a step toward that. Yeah.
Like, I'm in Canada and we're a Commonwealth and we're supposed to like the royal family, and a lot of Canadians do, older Canadians. It's fleeting with each generation, right? But we're supposed to care, and I only care as far as I want to see them taken down. And I'm just because I love entertainment and, you know, movies and television and stuff, everything. It's pure pulp to me. And
yeah.
I think
love a big television event
that
everyone is talking about. Like, I do love, like, you go on Twitter and every tweet is about, like, that's rarer and rarer, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to sort of, I was trying to think, what was the last, because it got 17 million plus viewers, and then who knows?
So crazy.
Who knows how much action, you know, elsewhere. I can't remember the last time we had a non-political TV event like that.
I know. I wish I love award shows. I mean, they're so.
Oh, I'm obsessed. And you know what it is? I don't even like. Yeah. And you know what I like? I like the spectacle. I like.
Totally.
The red carpet and the fashion. And I like, you know, funny acceptance speeches. I could care less about, you know, awards. And you're in a position where, but I'm not, listen, I've been a cinephile my whole life. And I'm a huge movie guy and I, you know, understand the business, and I understand how important people need to realize how important these awards are for the business side.
Yeah. It's so complicated.
It's very
I mean, I just had a absolute blast watching the Golden Globes. They were such a disaster. Like, the first award went to Daniel Kaluuya and you couldn't hear him. And it was just I just love that. But it's the Golden Globe nominations were so horrific. It's I want to watch the spectacle, but I don't really support the process.
It's, yeah, and they didn't make it any better when they came out to explain their, didn't make it any better. Wasn't super stoked with. To this day, I rewatch, especially when I'm high late at night, I'll rewatch Tina and Amy's opening monologues from the ones they did before.
Yeah.
Because of some of the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I know. They're amazing.
And I know Seth Meyers had a lot to do with the writing of it, but I mean, Tina Fey, her delivery is just chef's kiss. So I wasn't stoked that they weren't together, they had them separate.
I know. It's so hard.
It's weird, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, from a producing standpoint, the idea of they were in two different places and then everyone was, the presenters were there, but the nominees weren't. It was just I can't even imagine trying to do that.
It's such a weird time, isn't it? And I mean,
so crazy.
I just, obviously, we all hope and pray it ends soon, just for so we can have traditional red carpets again.
That's what's most important.
Right? That is the most important thing. Well, it's my favorite things are as far when I, if I leave the house, it's conventions, concerts, and movies. So it's you know, XXX, right? So I'm just, you know.
I had so many concert tickets that was you know, when you'll buy them so far ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then slowly you'd start to get those emails from Ticketmaster that would be this has been canceled, or it was just so hard.
I can't. Yeah. And those will be the last things to come back.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Right? Well, I'm a big baseball fan.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And I think that's actually going to be the first thing to come back because it's outdoors.
Right.
I mean, so are many concerts, but or here they are at least. They just announced in Chicago that the Wrigley Field and, I still call it Comiskey, the White Sox field. But I think it's called Guaranteed Rate now, which is horrific. But they announced they're going to have fans, which
is half capacity or full
I don't know. Blown. I didn't read that. But the mayor made this really bizarre video where she's throwing out a pitch to the weird mascots and announcing it. It's so strange.
It's good. We're now entering the the awkward period, the transition, really the true transition period, not the one that we've been flirting with for a while, right? But as vaccines roll out and some of the red states are opening, and it's going to be an interesting time to see what happens. So I don't know. I'm I thought of being in a sweaty concert hall right now scares the shit out of me, but yeah, we'll just have, one day we're just gonna have to do it, right? Just sort of dip your toe in the water and make it happen. Because I mean, I can never not go to a concert again, or you know, or for you, like, go to a baseball game again, or what? Like, that's not on this. That's not possible on this planet, right?
Yeah. No. So. I mean, yeah. I also am like, I think probably same as you. I love going to the movies more than anything in the world. So I would really.
I mean, I've been going because, like, you know, I'm in Canada, so we're like, our numbers are a lot better, obviously. And, you know, so we've had like patches and moments of theaters opening and stuff. So I've been to the movies, right? And it's just, yeah, like half capacity and, you know, mask until you sit down, stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's, I've been lucky that way. But I guess the issue is the releases just haven't been there. So it's
totally,
you know, a lot of classic films.
Yeah. We've gone to a bunch of drive-ins. LA's
done, yeah.
There's been so many. It's really fun. And there's this amazing one in Hollywood that's about to have a film projector.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really excited.
That's very cool. Yeah, you can understand in Canada with winter's drive-throughs.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about LA.
They used to be around, but they just closed eventually because, you know, the seasonal thing just isn't, you can't, you have to run a business that way.
Yeah, big time.
Notes from the bathroom line. Yes. It's got this sort of long promotional language here. What's it about? You tell me.
Okay, so it is a collection of all new humor writing from 150 of the funniest women in comedy. So there's this book called Titters from 1976.
Let me
usually how I explain. This is my spiel,
right?
I'm broken record.
No. Well, that's, you're gonna get, this is the number one question, right? You get asked. So okay, you finish up because I did want to talk about Titters a little bit, but yeah,
yes, for sure. But so yeah. Titters is from 1976. I discovered it because I am, Gilda Radner is my all time queen, and she contributed to it, and it's her and Phyllis Diller and Candace Bergen and Lorraine Newman and like so many, it's mostly like New York SNL adjacent people from the 70s. And so I discovered it growing up and got it off eBay. And it's like, it's called Titters, the first collection of humor by women. And it bothered me that there was never another one. And so I'd always wanted to do one. And then through my job, I get to meet so many unbelievably funny women all the time. And so I finally felt like, you know what? We should do this. So it's Notes from the Bathroom Line is like essays and fiction and poetry and cartoons and comics and sheet music and just like, you could basically just flip through it and see like anything and everything. And it has all my favorite funny women, and it's my baby.
It's a Buick. Like, it's a big, heavy, awesome color book. I'm holding it now.
And, yeah, it's kind of like between a book and a coffee table book.
That's the nice thing about it, because I haven't read every single word in it. It just
totally
is a lot to absorb. I've flipped through it and I've read, you know, probably half of it, I'll say.
No, it's hard. It's but that's kind of some of the fun, is you can kind of like a friend got
it. Sorry, I just randomly opened it and I'm looking at the Jawlines poster.
Oh, I know, it's so good. That's Geraldine Viswanathan is so funny.
It's funny.
Yeah, that's the fun part, is like, oh, like, I love this, you know, I love Maria Bamford. Let's go find her in here. And then you, like, hopefully will discover, like, so many other amazing women, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's sort of what I found I was doing at the beginning, you know, like, going to, like, my favorites first, and then, you know, we'll eventually get through it all. But, no, it is a great coffee table book, for sure.
Yeah.
So I never read, I have and still haven't read Titters, but I'm able to timestamp it really well with context, because it came out the year I was born, 1976.
Oh, amazing.
So, you know, to your point in that really, really great introduction that you put in this book, it means that we haven't had anything like this in 45 fucking years.
And it's insane.
Right? Because I am 45 years old. So when you think about it, that is crazy. That's a crazy amount of not just funny women, but like industry giants since then. Yeah. Like in 45 years. I mean, we can go down the list, but like, that's incredible. That must have been part, like, a shocking thing to you. Like, did you think, oh, there's got to be something in between then and now?
Yeah. When I first had the idea, like, I feel like so much of creativity nowadays is you think of an idea and then you're like, has someone done this?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, the other day I thought of a tweet and my boyfriend was like, That's not, no, that's not yours. Like, you need to Google that. Like, someone else has said that. And he was wrong. They hadn't. He's a bitch. No, but so it was kind of like, I was like, well, there must have been something, right? Like, there's just no way.
In his defense, he probably had a 50-50 shot. But
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right. Well, it was that he kept saying that he's the oat milk mafia. And I was like, this is the worst. Like, we've spent a year in quarantine together, and like, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
The comedy's getting bad. Yeah.
And so I was like making a joke about him saying oat milk mafia and we're done. And he was like, I don't think oat milk mafia, I think that's a well-known thing. It's not. But anyway, stupid tangent. But so I just was like, there's no possible way there hasn't been like a women's humor collection since 1976. And there truly hasn't. I mean, there's like a couple books about like women in comedy, but not like, you know, it became a thing, and I'm very glad for it that like women, you know, Tina Fey wrote Bossy. I feel like Tina Fey wrote Bossy Pants, and then everyone wanted to write their Bossy Pants,
right,
and no one really has, honestly. Like, that's kind of the pinnacle. And I was just, but the beautiful thing about Titters is it's just like, because it's, and I say this in the intro, but like, because all of these pieces are together, it like makes this time capsule, and they really play off each other, and you really get a sense of like what was running through these women's minds. And so I just wanted all these women in one place. And I also like always believe like we're stronger together, you know?
Sure.
I also don't think everyone has a full book of funny in them. Like, so, like,
right. Well, that's, yeah.
Well, I mean, many, many people do, but like, you know, it's so easy to ask someone like for one piece and they can bang out the most amazing thing, you know?
I like the line in your intro where you said, you know, if you agree, please shout it from the rooftops. If you disagree, please keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can read between the lines there. I mean, it's if you disagree, fuck off, right? Like, take a hike, bud. Yeah.
Right? I think that's a little bit stolen from, there's this amazing show that was in Chicago, Improvised Shakespeare, that my friend Blaine started. That's they do basically like they get a suggestion of a title of a play and then they improvise like a full Shakespearean play. It's unbelievable.
Oh,
I think you can
good.
Actually watch it online. I think they were doing it through the Largo. I forget, whatever. Okay. But I think they say something about like, if it's great, if you loved it, tell your friends. If you hated it, tell your enemies or something like that. I forget. Whatever.
That's funny though. That's a great
premise. An homage to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if you don't like this book, you're bad. Go away.
you're a white guy. You're one of those. You're one of those. Who wrote the thing about lesbian dating men?
Alex Songsha. It's so funny. Yeah,
you're one
of
those guys. Yeah,
a lesbian's guide to dating men. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, if you don't like this book, you're that the band's guy.
Oh, the Jax Mannequin guy. Yeah. So funny. She was so funny. She was like, at one point, she was like, I think I might want to get rid of that line. I don't want to be mean to Jax Mannequin. Oh, I was like, I think they're going to be okay.
They're fine with it. I'm sure any press is good press, right? like you said, and you mentioned it in the book and also just now, this thing sort of begins and ends with Gilda Radner for you in a lot of ways, who we both love. For a long time, I had Live from New York poster on my wall. So it's funny when I bring up, again, because I'm old and I'm a huge Saturday Night Live fanatic. I've watched it my whole life. I'm obsessed with it. You know, I've stuck with it. And that was because I got that from my dad who loved it, right? So
totally.
Would let me stay up. That was the only night of the week I was allowed to stay up. So, which was weird for a Canadian family. But I was too young to appreciate the Canadian connections to it, right? You know, when I talk about it today and that, especially that cast, right, the original lineup, the 75 to 79, you know, people don't think it's funny. It doesn't seem to translate that well with, well, for sure, not today's young people, but even like the previous, like it, why do you think that is? Because I still, like, I, for sure, I don't think it all hits, but I don't think all of today's show hits either. So, I mean, I think it's generational for sure, but what is it with you? Because I mean, I still think like so much of what Gilda in particular, her Baba Wubba is hilarious still.
Yeah.
Her Patti Smith is to me still like genius. I mean,
incredible.
Well,
it's like pretty much everything Gilda did hit. It's just kind of unbelievable. I mean, I really think she's an icon. I could go into this forever.
Right, but you should. But like, you know, I've shown people like, you know, Rosanna Dana, and they don't think it's funny at all.
Well, they're dumb. They're really dumb. That's
a great answer. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you understand. You've been in the business long enough. Some stuff doesn't carry over.
No, totally.
To the next generation.
I think it just has to hit you at the right time. You know, yeah. Like I think it's a fun discussion of like what was your era of SNL that really hit you, you know, and that was mine. And then also like the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler era was just like at the exact right time in my like development as a comedy fan, you know?
Right.
Also pretty undeniable, like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, like that's insane.
That, that era, you know, that sort of early 2000s.
Yeah.
Was nuts. Like people don't realize. And then all of a sudden like a young unknown Kristen Wiig joins the cast with that group still there, and then you have like us, not on the way out necessarily, but like Rachel Drax, sort of like the senior person, and
who's in the book
yeah. And it's just like it's an embarrassment of genius at that point, right?
Yeah.
And then you talk about the men, of course, too, but like Will Ferrell, like was in every skit. And
I know.
It's unbelievable, that era. Yeah.
It's really crazy. But yeah, I just think it's got to just like hit you at the right time. And I also just like, I don't know, I got those DVD, you know, when they first made those DVD box sets of like the first five seasons.
Yep. Yep.
I got those like one Hanukkah and it just like blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it was just like, my boss Alec always talks about how like he likes the word humor better than comedy because humor doesn't have to be like a laugh a minute type stuff. Like it can be more experimental. We use the word humor in the subtitle of the book too, because there is like some more, sentimental stuff I'm trying to think of the right word, but so, you know, what's that one of just Gilda and Steve Martin just like ballroom dancing?
Yeah, they Casablanca or whatever.
Yeah. But there's just like that's just like 6 minutes of them dancing. Like it's unbelievable. Right. I don't know. Like TV's changed, but
it's changed for sure. And that stuff, it's hit and miss in the way that like Andy Kaufman, right? Some people don't think he's not only not funny, but just like a waste of skin, right?
Insane.
Like, how did this man have a career? That's how some people are like have that reaction to how unfunny they think he is. And I'm just
dumb.
And I'm just like, no, you have to. I'm like, and you try and explain it, and it just doesn't land. It doesn't stick.
Are you a fan of Strangers with Candy?
Yes.
So that's like my other all-time favorite thing. And that's a thing I've shown a few people over the years. And then just be like, what the fuck is this? And it's like, if you don't get this, you don't understand me or comedy.
Yeah, don't ever talk to me again.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah, Sarah Thayer, who was on that amazing show, is in the book too.
I was, you know, like...
Can you tell my whole life is being like... anyone who mentions any show, I'm like, this woman from that show is in the book.
well, that's, I mean, we'll talk about the process because this is a capital P process. This book is unbelievable. Oh,
yeah.
We're actually going to open up all 500,000 emails and read them in the book. No, we're not going to do that. We don't have nearly enough time to do. But the important thing, let's say, whether you find Gilda and that group, you know, Lorraine Newman and these people funny or not, I guess. I think what's important that you at least understand is the shit they put up with, the bridges, you know, they built. And, you know, you've seen Amy and Tina and all these other girls talk about Maya too. It was obsessed with Gilda. How important, you know, it is that they're even allowed at that table because of those early women, those 70s women, right? Late 70s, early 80s women. That to me, I guess, might be their greatest accomplishment, especially for someone like Gilda, who just didn't transition over to have a, I mean, obviously her life was cut short tragically, but, and some of the decisions she made because she was in love.
Yeah.
Right. So, totally. You know, she didn't have this big film career that so many people thought she was going to have.
Totally.
So it ends up being her legacy ends up being just like this beautiful way for this generation, second and last generation, to have a career.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I have the DVDs of every bad movie she made.
Yeah. Haunted Honeymoon isn't bad. I don't
Haunted Honeymoon.
It's great.
You know, I haven't watched it in a long time. I should rewatch that. Yeah, no, I mean, I like can't think too hard about like what she would have done later. You know, she'd had no time.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, and I point to like, you know, again, as evidence, you know, sort of just her timing and her delivery and stuff like that, you know, like her quick appearance on, you know, the Gary Shandling show. And, you know, I'm just like, look at this. And then like, you see people laughing and like, okay, I get that. I'm like, that was her all the time,
I know,
right? Like, imagine always being on. That's unbelievable. So, you know, these have all these minefields and everything, and the women talk about how much it's changed for the better and stuff. But I get the sense it still has a ways to go. And you're a powerful woman working in the biz now for a while. Do you get that sense that things are they must be getting a little better, but are they getting a lot better?
Totally. I mean, since 1976, like exponential.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm afflicted of, if I ever watch a TV show, you watch the credits really carefully and see if there are women in power. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
And so like, it makes me, you know, Schitt's Creek just won a bajillion awards, and I've actually never seen it because it's hard for me to watch TV comedy when you work in it, you know? Cause it's just like, all I can see are like where the cameras are set up and hear the ADR and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it absolutely ruins it for you.
Yeah.
But they have only white men in any, the producer and up is only white men.
Right.
And, that's horrifying to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to drag them. They're just one example. But like, I do think when you look at the shows that have a lot of women, it's because they're run by women.
Right.
And I think a lot of men just don't make it a point. I'm like so grateful to work for Alec Berg and Mike Judge, who are like incredible feminists, and like, and Bill Hader too. And like all of our rooms have been super, is equitable the right? Is that how that works?
Is that a word? Equitable?
It's hard. I haven't said words.
Not good with words.
I'm not that good with words, but I do make writing my job.
Just let's sidetrack just for one quick second because I fucking love Bill Hader so much.
He's amazing.
Is he just a really great guy in real life? Like, please
he's
be honest.
Amazing.
He's never going to hear that. He's never going to listen to this.
Amazing.
All right. That's good. Good to know.
I just, he wrote a really lovely blurb that's on the back.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Yeah. It's really funny. I'll read it. It's, I'm close personal friends with 149 of the 150 contributors of this amazing book. So you can almost trust me when I say they are among the brightest -1, most talented -1 writers on the planet. So
like he's so funny in everything he does. And I love that I keep waiting for him to just grab. I mean, Barry was great, but I mean, he needs to like, I think he should have a film career, but.
I think that's his.
Because the movies he's been in, he's great in, right?
I know. Like, he's Skeleton Twins.
Skeleton Twins, yeah. So great.
He's amazing in Trainwreck.
He was really good in Trainwreck. And it's funny because he's a romantic lead in it. And he's straight. He plays the straight man in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
he plays sports.
I'm talking comedically straight.
Yeah.
Of course. Totally. He killed it, and he's not a traditionally handsome guy. I'm sorry, Bill. You're not. I love you, but you're not. And he's great. And I just love, like, people need to understand too. It's important that I always stress this to people. He carried SNL for a few years, like
I
on
know.
His fucking back. So, anyways,
I know.
Sidetrack. But anyways, just
no,
I just
yeah.
want to know because I he's one of a handful of people that if I found out he was an asshole, I'd be upset. Anyway.
No, he's amazing. He was right. Trainwreck came out when we were first starting to work on the Barry pilot. And I don't get super starstruck. Like, I try to keep my cool. But, I just heard do you listen to Smartless, the podcast? It's Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes.
I haven't yet, no.
It's really fun. It's really fun. They're just, like, best friends. So they just, like, rib each other all the time. I mean, talk about an all-white male show, but that's fine. But so they just had George Clooney on, and they were talking about – I mean, the guests they get are insane. But so, like, they were talking about how when you are working with someone and then – one night you're home and you watch something they were in and you get giddy about them, you know, and then you go to work and you're like, oh my God, that happens a lot at Barry with Stephen Root.
Okay.
He, unbelievable, and just he's in like all these Coen. He just pops up and stuff, and so yeah, he's like the loveliest man. And then you'll watch something, and you'll be like, "Oh my God, Steven!"
But yeah, that's funny.
That's what happened with the train wreck when that first came out.
All right. Yeah. It didn't go to his head, I assume.
No, Bill's yeah, super chill as hell. He's perfect. Such a like cinephile too, which is really fun.
That's he's kind of, I know he's a big like sort of like nerdy comic book guy too, right? Isn't he, I think?
Yeah, his best friend Duffy is super, super into comic books. So I think okay, he's into it through. But he can watch just old movies all day.
Does he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's just like literally all day, every day. He's seen everything.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I love him. So I interrupted you and you were saying something awesome and I don't even remember what it was.
I'm sure it was stupid.
No,
I don't know.
And no. Let's get into like the heavy lifting, because this thing, like to piece this together, just unbelievable. Like this is a capital P, like I said, process. It must have been incredibly labor intensive. I wasn't like there was, you know, I didn't, that number wasn't arbitrary earlier. Like it's written somewhere like 500,000 ish emails.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sort of said that.
It's a lot.
I can't even imagine.
It's probably more, you know, and so many people contributing to it during a pandemic, although that almost probably didn't matter. And this would have been done through emailing and virtual correspondence anyways, right?
I mean, yeah, was actually done the pieces were written pre-pandemic, which right, I'm actually really grateful for, because I didn't want it to be about the pandemic.
Right. Were they written for this book or how many?
They're all written for this book.
Yes. Okay. So none of them, they're just like, oh, I've got this laying around, you can have that.
Maybe a couple, but they were definitely all like edited, you know. Basically, I went to all these gals and was like, I would love for you to write basically anything you want. I have a document of like prompts if that's interesting to you,
right?
But I just want you to write from like what's on your mind and in your heart, basically.
So
yeah, because then I felt like they would all speak to each other and become a sort of like piece and sort of like not thesis on right now, but like sort of feel like the time capsule vibe,
right? You know, and that's like, you know, that's a really abbreviated version of how it went down. Talk to like, so you get the idea for this book. You know, do you like, I don't know if you have an assistant or somebody that was helping you in the book. Like, did you just start with literally like a big board of names?
Yeah. So
like a wish list for sure. Like, and I'm curious if you got any no's from anybody that really sort of deflated you just because they were busy or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, so basically I'd had a proposal first where I like attached like 20 or so women to be like, these are the kinds of women, you know, and they were women who I knew who, you know, Darcy Carden and, actually, there's a few women who were on the original proposal who ended up not being able to do it because they got so busy. Right. But so it was like, here are the kinds of women who'll be in it. And I had examples of like stuff they'd written and the kinds of things I thought it should be. Catherine Coen, and I had some of her poetry in it, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, so I just like had I probably have as many emails. I have insane Google Docs. I love Google Docs. So I just have so many spreadsheets and I had names and I just sort of started to do this web of like, okay, I'll ask this gal and then I'll ask her who her favorite people are and just sort of start to expand it. I got so many no's. I mean, so many. The amazing thing about having 150 women in a book is like, it's a real testament to, that's not even nearly all of them, you know?
Right.
There are so many amazing women doing funny shit. So this is like a tiny portion. So yeah, there are tons of no's. It was like, there are definitely no's, and I appreciate a no more than silence, you know?
Yeah, 'cause
then
too,
you're just like holding out hope. Like, yeah. So when someone was like, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, blah, blah, like totally fine. But then it would be like the consistently following up with someone just not responding is like, oh boy. So yeah, no, there were a ton, but more exciting was like the yeses, you know? So it's like, I'm trying to think, you know, I wonder what percentage I knew. I knew some of these women, but like when people I didn't know would say yes, like I love Lake Bell, or I love Michaela Watkins. I don't know. I'm trying to think of women I did not know. Yvonne Orji, or like
some weird names that like pop out to me that didn't like a Dylan Galula or somebody like that.
Yeah,
right? Like,
she's just amazing.
Not obvious necessarily.
Totally. I want to give people a chance who like are not like writers with a capital W.
Right.
You know?
Right. Or even like, or even comedic. I mean, I know she's in, you know, Schmidt,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's people in comedies, but they're not necessarily playing a comedic role, or they're, totally, they're, right, they're the, like, again, the straight person or whatever.
Totally.
But, yeah.
Yeah. She's really funny. She, yeah. And a lot of people, it was like, who's super funny on Twitter, honestly, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, there are definitely like women who are more like actresses, but who I knew could be amazing in here. It's kind of a combo.
Did you have a limit? What was your cap? Like, if everyone had said yes, are you putting everybody in this book?
Well, it was just like, I had to sort of like, it was a constant thing of like, okay, how many women are there? There are definitely some who are going to ghost me, you know? It was just kind of like organically letting it happen. And then eventually it started, as I would get pieces in, it would be like, oh, this is going to be too long, you know? Right. So there's these sections in there where that are like group questions.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what's
best
a common
advice stuff? The best,
yeah,
advice,
best you advice have, yeah, you received that you didn't, yeah, take, like, yeah, a time you sent a text to the wrong person. Like, so yeah. I was like, oh, some people can just answer those rather than write pieces so they can be a part of it, but they don't. Sure. And like, if they're super busy, they can just do that and not like write a whole piece.
Right.
So that was kind of a way to get more in and not, if there were definitely, it was too long and we had to shave stuff down.
Right.
But it just sort of ended up getting to 150. It was like at 140. And then I was like, okay, I need 10 more.
That number was important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If, I was like, 137 funny women in comedy. Would be so
it doesn't have the same. Well, if you want to release all this cut stuff in another book, I have the title for the book. It's, I'm stealing it from Sarah's thing. It's Ultimately All Vaginas Are Stand-Up Comedians. I think a great title for a book.
There are so many. There was a time where I was questioning the title because I questioed everything.
And titters is such a funny thing too, because it's got the double meaning, obviously.
I wanted to just straight up do titters too. That was kind of my intention at the beginning. And then I was like, oh, no one knows what titters is. And also they won't let me put tits on the front of a cover anymore.
Which is
obviously a real shame.
Fucking ridiculous. But
yeah, not, so for people kicking,
that sounds awful from a guy saying that. You're like, no. I want to see tits on a book.
But the cover of Titters is literally a woman's torso,
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
her nipples are like poking through the shirt,
driving through the t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like magical. It's like, and when a woman publishes that, it's like the best. So that's kind of what I wanted. But so it had to be its own thing. And I just talk about Titters.
Titters 2 just has this really great like 80s comedy sequel name, right? Just sort of summons this era where like, you're right, yeah, we can't do that anymore, can we? Like, not Meatballs or something, you know what I mean, like whatever,
yeah,
but like,
yeah,
it just summons that sort of like era of where things you just can't, they don't want you to say or do anymore, right?
I know. So we settled. I mean, it's totally fine, and honestly, like, not a lot of people know about Titters, so it's not right. Like that would be like a major marketing force, right. But yeah, so I constantly was questioning the title, and so there was a time where I pulled a ton of quotes from the book and was like, what else could maybe be the title? And there's so much good stuff.
Oh, it's a gold mine of stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Give me the timeline then. So you start assembling names, you start reaching out to people. What was sort of like,
yes,
rough?
I've been doing this since summer 2018.
Okay.
And so first I have this group of like my best friends, who are sort of my like brain trust, you know, mm-hmm. who I would go to and be like, is this insane? You know, mm-hmm. Catherine Cohen, my friend Kathy Liu, my friend Julia Monahan. And so I would always sit down with them and be like, let's talk this out. And that's who I like came up with the like group questions with and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, so I started gathering people and then I would be like, I wanted them to have a long time to write a piece because I didn't want this to be a stressful thing for anyone except for me, I guess. And it wasn't honestly stressful most of the time. But so I would be like, let me know what you're thinking of writing because I just wanted to make sure things weren't overlapping each other too much. And then let's set a deadline that you think would be good for you. And like also we can know that that's not a real deadline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there was like a year of doing that. I had a deadline a year later.
Okay.
And then my editor famously left HarperCollins right before it was due, which was unbelievable. But they replaced her with an amazing lady and it was ultimately fine, but really shocking.
Yeah,
and
I'll bet.
Then there was like a ton of editing and trimming and getting all of the illustrations done and organizing them into chapters and just 1,000 Google Docs.
Just a only 1,000. I mean, listen, your life is, I'm sure, is this is what you excel at, I'm sure, right? I mean, your life is Google Docs, and
it is a lot. The nice thing about this book is it is a lot like my job. Like producing a TV show is like, it's just this bird's eye view of like everything that has to happen, you know? And so just that's what I like, is like making everything align and like tracking all of the stuff. And I love, like, the reason I do what I do is like, there is nothing cooler than being like, okay, you know, Beth Stelling has this amazing piece that's this like a parody of the What's in Your Bag pieces that like magazines will do. Oh my God,
I love
do.
That so much.
It's so good. And so she had this idea.
Brass knuckles.
I know. There's like a taser. There's like a Michael Kors taser. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And so she, there's a granola bar that's for if you get hungry or if you get thrown in someone's trunk.
Yeah.
But so she had that idea, and then I got to reach out to this amazing gal, Kendall, who's an unbelievable designer. And it's like, I got to set them up and they got to work on it together, and they made this gorgeous, gorgeous thing. So like connecting people to collaborate is like my greatest joy. So that was a lot of the fun stuff, was like being like, look at, oh, there's like Natasha Rothwell wrote this awesome piece that's the rules of the commandments of karaoke.
Yes.
Then Jenny Dawes, this unbelievable artist. And I was like, here's this piece, do what you feel. And she did this unbelievable like hand painted portrait of Natasha Rothwell doing karaoke. So like that kind of stuff is so fun, and that's not my job. So
yeah, this book, like this, like I said, this book, you know, it reads well and it looks great. Like, I mean, like I said earlier, that Jawlines poster and even the whole Look at Me, like there's a whole musical spread in here.
That's sheet music to Catherine's like probably most famous
like
song.
It looks great. It's full of great art, great illustrations. Anything, you know, of course, it might be an impossible question to answer. Any favorites? Anything sort of stick out at you that...
Oh my God, it's so hard.
I know.
They're my babies.
I know. I don't want you to like feel and make anybody feel bad. Like, it's not a ranking necessarily, but just, is there any, a few of them that sort of really jump out to you at all? Or
there's this really... Rachel Winitsky has this amazing piece that's... like a, this dude wrote, she's saying she's this guy, I think named Matt Matthews, who wrote a screenplay, and he's trying to make it more female friendly. And so he just is crossing things out and renaming them as women.
Right.
And it's amazing. I think every time they say beer, they change it to boobs or something. I forget exactly, but it's amazing. And Lennon Parham has this ode to Target. That's a poem. That's amazing. That says like, does Joanna Gaines have the answers? Which I love. Iowa Debris has this piece that's like, that's a rom-com job listings. And it's basically like formatted like job listings and being like, basically really cheesy rom-com, like somehow you come into your, you own an independent bookstore that's come down through your family. Like, I don't know. I'm not describing it well.
No, that's,
anyway,
if a lot of the lists are funny. A lot of lists I found, like the bad habit you'll never get rid of list is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like the one, who's the one who said the drinking the soy sauce?
Oh, I think so, that's Aya Cash. Yeah. And she's so like, funny, it's fine. I, my doctor said it's okay. and those pages are really fun.
They are a lot of fun. And like you said, really economical too. You get a lot out of a little, right?
Yeah, totally. And did you know there's a audiobook and all of the gals read their own pieces?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm gonna announce it later today.
Okay.
We did it all remotely. It was amazing. This amazing gal, Iris McElroy, who works for audiobooks for HarperCollins, she produced this whole thing, and with 70 of the women read their pieces from home.
Oh, that's great.
It's amazing. So some pieces are too visual to be in it, but a lot of people's work totally great. So it's going
to
be really cool.
Is Sarah's in it? The open letter to...
Yeah. It's so good.
That one is so...
Yeah. It's an open letter to her daughter, teenage daughter's vagina. It's unbelievable.
Clitty will be the first to die in climate change.
I know. It's so good.
Is gold. Like that is good. That is comedy gold. I love that one so much.
It's so good.
So this book is endlessly entertaining and funny, but there's, I you know, you'd be... ridiculously dumb if he didn't understand there is some important issues that, you know, going on at the same time, obviously, you know, commodity, womanhood, all these wonderful things. But, you know, there's, it's about breaking down barriers and stuff too, right?
Totally.
You know, to be able to have just like casual conversations about abortion, about periods, about vaginas and your dad's penis and, you know, whatever else comes up. And that must have been important to you because it's spread throughout all this book and it's important and but funny at the same time, of course, never losing sight, you know, that this is meant for entertainment at the end of the day, but it doesn't mean you can't, you know, help people become more comfortable with so many important issues for facing women, right?
Totally. Yeah. It was really important to me that basically it was women talking and being funny about anything and everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So there are pieces that have nothing to do with being a woman. Right. And then there are pieces that are like, an open letter of my teenage daughter's vagina. And so, yeah, I just want, like, my deepest belief is that like the funniest people in the world are women. And so like, I think I just wanted it to be like, they can be funny about whatever they want and they can be frank and honest about whatever they want. And here it all is, you know? So yeah, it's like, and yeah, there for the men out there, there are definitely pieces that are not about vaginas. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm going why I just,
no. That piece is just amazing.
It is so, so funny.
Like, it's so good.
So funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Cecily Strong's piece is about like how she wants her funeral to look.
Talk about carrying a show right now.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, she and Heidi Gardner are both in the book who are both on SNL and Heidi's amazing.
Yes.
And so, yeah, no, they have an Instagram incredibly strong and I love Bo and Yang.
They're the future looks brighter than it has the last couple of years.
Totally.
Where like they were just leading on Kate way too much. Right. And
totally.
And
80. I love 80.
I want them to bring back Dykes and Fats.
I know.
So why don't they bring that back? It was so funny.
I do think from talking to Bill about it, I do think you sometimes are just like, I can't just do it. They get nervous about like, I can't do this over and over.
Yeah.
He was scared for a while when Stefan was so popular. Right. You know, it was just like, we have to protect this and not do it like every week, you know? Right.
Yeah. True enough. But there's that pressure to do it too, I guess.
I know. It's a hard thing to balance, I think. So yeah, I think that's probably
any like SNL like fourth wall documentary or book.
Do you listen to Marin WTF?
Yes,
he always asks people. He's like fascinated by SNL. Well, he also like auditioned a bunch of times too. So I love when he has someone from SNL and he's like, "All right, you're gonna tell me the story." You know,
I went to it was limited runs right for the live from Saturday Night, the documentary, the 40 year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got tickets to the limited run in Toronto and got a, you know, stole a poster and it was amazing. Just stuff. I'm just so obsessed with stuff like that. But
I know. I love it. I get really nerdy about it too.
Me too.
Yeah. I was in middle school from like 7th to 10th grade. Well, first of all, I wore this Gilda Radner sweatshirt like every day for like 3 years.
Right.
It's this big green sweatshirt. It's amazing. It's still like probably the thing I feel like most at home in. And then I also could not miss SNL Live. I was like, this is so important to me. I have to be home. I left every bar and bat mitzvah party early to be home. In Chicago, it's at 10:30.
Right.
So it was like a little bit earlier. And it was just so important to me. We went on a family vacation to Arizona once and it was like not live there because you know how it like airs later on the West Coast.
Yep.
And I was so mad at my parents for taking me away from it.
Isn't that funny? And it's just, you know, I remember, you know, a little Canadian boy growing up and then, you know, getting Lorne Michaels to do SC or Kids in the Hall and, you know, just what was our version sort of Saturday Night Live, right? Able to enjoy both of it. But just, and we had, you know, we would go to Toronto and we would know those guys ahead of time, right? Because we'd be going to their shows before they had their TV show, right? The live shows. And
yeah.
It was just this thing for us growing up with SCTV. Of course, we have that sort of that history there too. But
I love it. You know what? I was just listening to Martin Short on It seems like I listen to this podcast Smartless all the time. I don't. I listen to other stuff too. But he was on Smartless and he was talking about getting cast in that. Do you know about this production of Godspell that was him and Gilda?
It's kind of how they all met.
And it's just like that. If like I could go to anywhere in history, I think it would be to like go be a part of that Godspell cast. It's just like unbelievable.
Well, my in-laws' cottage, their old cottage, used to be just down the shore from Paul Schaefer's up in Thunder Bay.
So cool.
So we used to like canoe out front and just like see if he was there. And,
so cool. Is that a thing in Canada? Everyone kind of has a cottage.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. Not everyone, but it's a trailer, like a lot of people, cottage, a lot.
Like it's a weekend spot.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, cottages is a loose term. I mean, there's some pretty nice, there's some nice ones. There's mansions on the water too.
Well, right?
For some people, but it's, we just sort of Ontario and Canada had no different than sort of Northern US, right? Like lakes, you know, nice clean lakes and pine trees and those, that sort of setting, right? That, you know, so
totally.
It's a thing. Not sure, I personally prefer going, I spend my winters, if I can, not this year, but down south, but
I'm more of a beach guy
myself. But
I love the equivalence of like, so I'm from Chicago and we used to go to Michigan City, Indiana in the summer. That's where my grandparents lived. And then now in LA, it's Palm Springs. I just like knowing the different spots, you know, like,
yeah.
I went to college in New Jersey and learned all about the Jersey Shore, which like I'd never known about. I'm fascinated by all of it.
Yeah. Well, that's land. I guess it's landmarky, right? Too, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Especially when you're not from, it's to them, it's nothing, I guess. Right. But yeah, like I lived in, I was a roadie for punk bands many years ago. And I remember the first time going. And so I lived, ended up sort of half living in Santa Cruz, California there for a bit. And,
One of my best friends is from there. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Well, technically I can tell you Capitola and you would know what I meant, but I remember the first time there and going to the boardwalk and seeing like all the Lost Boys landmarks. And I was like, that's the roller coaster.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm the same way. I totally geek out. Even I've been to New York, I don't know how many times, but every time I always sort of like, I want to like sneak away and go see like either the Ghostbusters Fire Hall or something stupid.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the one outside Chicago is the Home Alone house.
Right.
People love going to see that.
Right.
I feel like that's one of the craziest ones to me was when you go to San Francisco and see the like full house credits area.
the park. There's so many, and there's really great books out there too about it. But there's a really
I always like give this is it's so boring to drive around LA with me because whenever you drive through Hollywood, it's like, hey, you know, in that garage back there behind the Emerson College building, that's actually where we shot the Pied Piper office. Garage and people are like, I don't care.
I don't. Yeah, it doesn't mean nothing to me.
That does. I'll be like, you know what? This area actually was once part of the Hooli campus on Silicon Valley, and be like, shut the fuck up. No one cares.
you suck. I love it. You could tour me around all day long. I'd never get enough of it.
My boyfriend's sweet about it. The other night we passed an Italian place, Columbo's, that's in Eagle Rock, and he was like, oh, look how cute that place is. And I was like, that's where Cousineau goes on dates in Barry. And he was like, amazing.
Bill Hader's Italian TV show host character.
Oh yeah.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
I'm gonna be just be like a stereotype and say Tony something, but it probably it probably was Tony something actually, but it's so funny. So anyways. Notes from the Bathroom Line comes out March 16th. I think it's going to do well. I think people are going to love this book. And like you said, it works so well. It's both a coffee table and just, you know, a nice sort of, like you said, time capsule, like a landmark.
Totally.
And it's long overdue, obviously. And let's hope we don't wait another 45 years.
Oh, I know. People are always like, well, now you'll have to do the next one. And it's like, I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Yeah. Right. And well, and we don't need to wait 4 decades, but
no,
sometime in between, you got to allow, like sort of like a new group to sort of come in and
completely
see, right. And because
You know what's cool is Lorraine Newman's daughter is in it.
I didn't know that.
Hannah Einbinder. Yeah, they have different. I assume it's her dad's name.
Right.
But that was a special little connection.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, still, so many. A lot of the women you know, Candace Bergen's still working. So women from right. the original are still like around. So oh, I did yeah. want this to be like sort of a new generation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely something that has to happen every, you don't want it every year. You couldn't, well, you just couldn't do it. I mean, you could, I guess, but I don't know if people would.
Yeah, I would just, you got to keep it special.
And agreed. Amy, I can't thank you enough for doing this. I had such a
thank
great time.
Thank you. So fun.
This book is super fun and I hope people get out there and buy it. And, rest up.
Notesfromthebathroomline.com is the easy place to go.
Okay, I was going to ask you that. So that's great. Yeah, yeah. So people can go there to figure it out. And if not, I mean, you can just Google it and
you sound so can it figure it out.
You can figure it out. And you know, I don't like to push the pandemic profiteering. So if you can avoid the scary bald guy, please do. But if you can't,
The website links to a lot of my favorite indie bookstores.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
There's also a pre-order giveaway where if you order from a few of my favorites, you get a free tote bag.
Oh, lovely. People love free stuff too. So that's
people
good.
People love free stuff.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Cause yeah, I don't like to promote that dude if I don't have to, but
no, me neither. Some,
if you have to, you have to buy it any way you can, but go to the website and that's your best way. Yeah. All right, Amy, thank you so much. Please thank enjoy you. The rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
There you have it. Another episode of Everything is Canon all wrapped up. Huge thanks to Amy for taking the time to chat about this both hilarious and important book that hopefully doesn't take another 45 years to come out. Notes from the Bathroom Line is out now. So head on over to notesfromthebathroomline.com to order a copy today. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen and head on over to cinelinks.com for the latest movie, TV, books, and gaming news. Please continue to be safe out there. Bye for now.